All right, tonight we are going to cover somewhat of a a big subject, but we're going to at least address it a little bit. And while we're going to make our statement or our presentation simply around why rock music is not an acceptable form of music for which to worship God. Why rock music is not an acceptable form of music for which to worship God. Now, the first premise that we need to recognize is that in the Bible, there is such a thing as acceptable worship and unacceptable worship. There is such a thing as acceptable worship and unacceptable worship. Now, in the Old Testament, we have some obvious incidences of unacceptable worship of God. Let's turn, first of all, to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So this worship, it's strange because it was strange to the prescription that God had given. It was outside of God's prescribed manner of worship, and so we use the word foreigner in the same way the Bible uses the word stranger. Okay, we say something that is foreign. It's outside of the normal realm of procedure. And here, they offered strange fire. Now, we have in the same passage scripture something that's very interesting in verse 9. And this may give us the insight into why they were willing to offer strange fire. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die." Okay, so this is pretty interesting. So we have a parallel that it's very possible that Nadab and Abihu were influenced by alcohol. And as a result, they lost their inhibitions and offered strange fire before the Lord. They were bold and weren't thinking correctly. And then God gives us this this warning that in the tabernacle, in the place of God's presence, they were not to drink wine nor strong drink. That was unacceptable for the very presence of God. Now think about it. Think about the fact that the Catholic Church and most Protestant churches worship God with alcoholic beverage. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that there is a very distorted view of God in our world today that has been in existence for a long, long time. And so when we talk about worshiping God in an unacceptable manner, it is not something that's new. It is something that's widely practiced, and the whole concept of a holy God has been distorted by Protestantism and Catholicism for a long, long time. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, here we find very godly man, David. And he had in his heart, he had this very desire to please the Lord. And he was going to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that in verse 3, they set the Ark of God upon a cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and it was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, on timbrels, cornets, and on cymbals. All right? And so they were, you know, they were truly trying to do what God wanted. They were trying to please the Lord. They were certainly had the right motives. But what happened? It says, verse 6, and when they came to the Nacor threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God. Why did he die by the Ark of God? Was the Ark supposed to be transported on a cart? No. The Ark of God had rings in its side for which poles were to put through those rings, and the Ark of God was to be carried by via a pole, and as in that sense, they would never touch the ark. The poles would just go through the rings, and they would pick up the ark, but it would not be touched by man. And but David, in his zeal, neglected to obey the Bible, and God kept his word. God kept his word, and they died before the Lord. Is there such a thing as acceptable worship? Yes, there is. Is there such a thing as unacceptable worship? Yes, there is. Now, in the Old Testament, one we won't go here, but Jeroboam invent a new worship and making calves and called them Jehovah? Yeah. Did God think well of it? No. God did not think well of it. They were performing syncretism. They were combining so-called heathen methods and bringing them together with the name of Jehovah. And it was an abomination before the Lord. How many years did it go on? Many, many, many years. Did all the people who went to that place, did they drop dead? No. But was it acceptable worship? No. Okay, let's see a couple New Testament references about worship that is acceptable. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, right? And she said in verse 20, and I remember she was at in Samaria. She was near Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans had their temple. And she said, our fathers worship in this temple, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship. Now that's true, because the temple would be rent in two in Jerusalem. And in AD 70, the whole temple would be destroyed and there would be no worship of the Father in Jerusalem anymore. Two reasons. One, because there could not be any blood sacrifices put on the altar. And number two, because the Messiah had come and the old covenant worship was undone. But notice what he said in verse 22. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He's just saying to you, your worship is wrong. And this worship at Jerusalem is right. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him can worship him in spirit and in truth. Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? Is there a difference between can and must? Quite a bit. Must means absolute necessity. Means required. Okay? It's not can worship him in spirit and truth. It must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, then turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. What's the word? Acceptably. With reverence and godly fear. All right, so we have some premises here. Are there many instances in the Old Testament where people did worship God unacceptably? Yes. Were all those people, did they all die? No. But did God choose to show us his disapproval of worshiping God unacceptably by taking the lives of some of them? Yes, he did. And why did he take the lives of some of them? So we would know how serious it is before God, even though he is a merciful God, to worship him acceptably. Okay, and we see that same theme repeated in the New Testament. Okay, so as we think about rock music and the worship of the Lord, first of all, let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. And this is just an obvious principle, but 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 23. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory. Did I say it right? 1 Chronicles 16:23. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Now notice the direction of the singing. It was singing unto the Lord. Notice it was to declare his glory. Can someone give me a good definition of the word glory? To glorify God. To give the right opinion of. To give the right opinion of. To glorify God means to give the right opinion of. And keep that in mind as we think about this. All right. First of all, as we think about rock music, let's think about what do rock musicians say about rock music? I'm not going to read say this because of younger audiences here. Frank Zappa says the big beat matches the body's rhythms. Paul Stanley of Kiss says rock and roll isn't based on cerebral thoughts. It's based on one's lower nature. Here's another expert on rock music. It says, we respond to the materiality of rock's sounds, and the rock experience is essentially erotic. So, the rock musicians are all telling us that rock music is sensual. Its nature is sensual. Its sound is sensual. Its character is sensual. Now, you know, when it comes to a subject like this, it seems like Christians, their brains become unplugged. You know, if you would go out to the parking lot and you would see this thing out there that has four wheels on it and has a windshield on it and bumpers on the front and the back, you know, it has four doors on it and a trunk, I think you'd probably say it's a car. I mean, that's what it is. The structure, the sound, all things about rock music speak of it as it is very sensually erotic and, like these men say, appeals to the baser nature of man. All right? you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. Okay? Let's think about this in a practical way. And I'm going to try to present it in a practical way. In churches that have CCM music, do the people come dressed modestly? I would say that you'd probably have to say that the average man in that atmosphere would have to come to church with pretty good blinders on. Because modesty does not go with a church that has CCM music. The two don't go together. If you went to that kind of a church, is that music compatible with dancing? It's compatible with dancing. Is That music, compatible with immorality. Yeah. Does that music arouse sensual feelings? Isn't it interesting? I have a few quotes here from Lucarini, who wrote the book of why he left the CCM music. He says, we use CCM to create this atmosphere. We dim the lights. We design the music to move people where we want to take them. And we create the special mood, the right atmosphere. What is wrong with this? It is exactly what the world does to create sexual intimacy. Secular musicians use the same music styles and the environmental methods to draw people into sexual intimacy with them. It's all about bringing sensuality into the public forum and breaking down our inhibitions. Isn't it amazing? You go to look on the website and you go to whatever it is, but you go to, for instance, you can go to Fox River and they dim the lights. They got the holy smoke. They're creating an atmosphere. Is it a holy atmosphere? It's not holy. It's purposely, mystically sensual. It's purposely, mystically sensual. Now, when we say sensual, what is the emphasis? It's about feeling. It's about feeling. It's substituting a feeling for God. It's creating an atmosphere instead of a revelation of God. It is creating its own definition of God. It's creating its own concept of who God is. It's a perfect medium to preach the false gospel. It's a perfect medium for people to accept anything that is taught. Because people go to that church for one thing, feeling. And if they leave their feeling like the music produces, they felt like they met God. And that's all they're interested in, is feeling like they met God. Now, the problem is, our God is not sensual. Our God is not immodest. Our God is not immoral. All of those things produce an atmosphere that is 100% against God. Now, a God who can tolerate that is not the God of the Bible. That is the problem. A people who can tolerate that do not know a true definition of the God of the Bible. Sorry. People who can tolerate that do not know God in a scriptural manner. Now, I always thought this interesting about morals. CCM, Luciano says this, Lucarini says, CCM is struck with this stigma of immorality. Because the music styles carry with them the baggage of the world's immorality. It does not matter if you change the lyrics. It does not matter if you change the musicians. It does not matter if you change the record labels. It does not matter if you ask God to sanctify it. Rock music and all its children, and by association CCM, can and will corrupt the morals of everyone who practices it. The Bible says whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That family came to our church and they said, you know, we were in our church and they introduced CCM music and we knew that we had to leave. We saw the girls moving in their seats with the music. Secondly, we saw the girls coming to church dressed immodestly. It went with the music. The sensual moving of the bodies of those young ladies and the immodesty of the young ladies went with the music. Here's a couple other things he said. When we brought rock music and its musical cousins into the church, we invited along with it a spirit of immorality with which that music is unavoidably associated. It wasn't obvious at first. We didn't use hard rock. Instead, we used more acceptable, watered-down forms of it. Soft rock, pop rock, country rock, easy-listening jazz styles. These styles supported the warm and fuzzy, falling in love with God feelings we wanted to have in worship. That sounds like that's exactly what girls want, isn't it? These styles supported the warm and fuzzy feelings. They were less edgy but still contained the underlying rock beat that undeniably appeals to our flesh and reminds us of the world's favorite music. Despite all our efforts to restrain the musical beat, the saints of God are being seduced by CCM styles. These styles are capable of corrupting the morals of any Christian, no matter how strong they think they are. It says, like other contemporaries, I was blind to the subtle sexual influences creeping into my worship teams and unwilling to admit that my worship music could possibly be tainted by SEX. When you combine the sensual dancing with the immodest dress of the women on the platform in the praise teams, you place a large stumbling block in the front of the men of the congregation. Very interesting. But this is where we're at today. How can we have a music that is full of sensuality and immorality in 95%+ of all the churches? Now, I think there's a couple sidelights that aren't really part of the sermon. One is people who listen to rock music. People who listen to rock music find CCM an acceptable music form. Young people who listen to rock music will find CCM an acceptable music form. I remember, it must have been 20-some years ago, I don't know who I was talking to, but I think we were talking about the music was changing at Maranatha. And I was talking to a young lady who was going there, and she said, oh, of course, at least 50% of all the students listen to rock music. 25 years ago. You know, music is moral. What does that mean? That means if your ear is tainted by secular immoral music, You will not think that rock music, CCM music, is bad, because you have lost your listening ability to determine what is moral and immoral. I mean, it's kind of like pornography. You know, a person who looks at pornography, what would be offensive to a normal person wouldn't be offensive to them, because their eyesight has become accustomed to something that's unacceptable. And music is the same thing. If you become allow yourself to listen to music that is wrong by the radio or any other form, you've lost your sense of morality in music. And when it comes to church music, well, you're going to have lost your edge on that. How do I put this together? Why is CCM? Now, I think you know CCM is the abbreviation for contemporary Christian music. It is the label given to music of the day that has a soft rock beat. And it has its own title, contemporary Christian music. It is rock music. It isn't maybe a heavy metal rock music, but it is all rock music. And rock music has its own beat. Rock music has its own musical rhythms. It has its own chords that they play. They have produced the same kind of sounds. And the sounds are sensual sounds. Okay? You say, well, I'm going to close with that. You say, what do you mean sound? Well, you know, all music has a sound, right? When I say dum da dum dum, I'm talking about mystery, right? I'm not even a very good singer. And I didn't even do it on tune, probably. But the sound meant something. And the rock sound always means sensuality. Now, you know, some of you might be familiar with, for instance, Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton, he really began the downward trend in fundamental Christians, because he produced a feminine sound for God. And that introduced Christians into a feminine view of the Lord that paved the way, in my opinion, for this next step downward. Okay? And I'll illustrate it by a very difficult way to do it, because I'm not a very good singer. But one day, what's his name? Was at my house, and I says, you know, there's something wrong with the sound of Ron Hamilton's music. What is it? And he said, I'll show you. He went to the piano and he played, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And then he went to the piano and he played Ron Hamilton's song, You Are My Fortress. And I thought, I get it. One strong, dynamic, clear. The other, same word, fortress, soft, mushy, emotional. All a part of the trend. And those are the people who are now introducing CCM music. That's the second step. Ron Hamilton, Matt Lynch with a lot of his emotional stuff. And then you go now to CCM. It's all about a change of definition of who God is. And I guarantee you, you will not see churches with wrong, with strong standards of separation with the world, from the world, with the wrong music. You'll not see a congregation where ladies are happy to dress modestly with CCM music or even Ron Hamilton music. It's not going to happen. Because why? The view of God has been distorted. And when the view of God is distorted, the view of repentance is distorted. When the view of God is distorted, the view of holiness is distorted. When the view of God is distorted, your whole view of worship is distorted. And so it's really probably one of the biggest issues of the hour. We went too long already. But trust that it will give some thoughts that we this is not just a secondary issue. Lord, I pray that you will use these thoughts we have shared tonight. Remind us that the God of heaven is a holy God. And that, Lord, everything about him ought to lift up his nature, his being, and especially in this area that we ought to avoid all forms, all every appearance of evil, and anything that would compromise the declaration of who the God of the Bible is. And especially, we need to be aware of it in this day of apostasy and in this day of decline and this day in which, Lord, the world has taken its seat right in the church. And I pray that, Lord, that you will take these thoughts from here and use them in Jesus' name. Amen.